Our next guest is a stand-up comedian who's got a couple new one-hour specials coming up, Standing in the Middle and The Nutcracker, a Christmas stand-up spectacular. We are pleased to be joined on the telephone by William Lee Martin. William, thanks so much for being with us this afternoon.
Rich, how are you, buddy?
I am doing just great. How about yourself?
Man, it's great. You know, we're here in Texas, and we put out two specials. A lot of people only try to put out one, and we were like, well, let's do two.
I like that. I like that enthusiasm. Well, let's talk a little bit about the first one. Tell us about Standing in the Middle. As you talk largely about, where so many of us are dealing with being in the middle class and all that entails.
Well, you know the climate in America now, and the way I looked at it is 10% of our country is on the far, far right, and 10% of our country is on the far, far left, and 80% of us, the majority of us, are deep in the middle, wishing the other 20% would shut up so we could all get on with our own lives.
Yeah, I agree with you completely on that. I think there's a tendency right now to just want to put your fingers in your ears and do what my five-year-old does and go la, 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 la.
Well, and it probably gets about as much stuff done as both the other two sides get done anyway. And the world and the climate keeps changing. And, you know, my wife and I have five kids. Yeah, five. We're not good Catholic. We're just really bad Methodists. And I've been raising kids, and my kids are now between the ages of 31 and 13. So I have four that completed college and one that completed the seventh grade.
Wow. That's...
She was a seventh grade class president last year, and first day in office, she erased all of her emails and built a wall between them and the sixth graders.
So clearly...
Got the fifth grade to pay for it.
Taking her inspiration from the world around her. I like that.
Turned out she had kissed a boy back in the second grade. She's been paying him off ever since, y'all.
The Standing in the Middle special was released just about a week ago. How can people get that and check it out?
The easiest way to find it, I mean, it's on everything. It's on Amazon Prime. It's on Sling. It's on Google Play. It's all over the place. Best place to find it is just go to my website, WilliamLeeMartin.com. WilliamLeeMartin.com. I'll say it slowly. WilliamLeeMartin.com. And then click the special there, the Standing in the Middle. And you'll find the link, and it's on 12 different platforms, plus we're on Sirius and XM and Spotify on the audio version as well. But the video is beautifully shot, and we're real pleased with the product.
And then you've got another special that you roll out on December 10th, The Nutcracker, a Christmas stand-up spectacular. You're not the Sugar Plum Fairy. What's the connection here?
Well, a couple of things. One, when my agent first, I called my agent and I said, you know, I want to do a Christmas special. And he said, Bill, stand-ups don't do Christmas specials. It's never been done. They've done variety shows, but they've never dedicated an hour to stand-up. And I said, well, that's exactly why we should do one then. It's not very often you can be the first doing anything in stand-up. And I said, think about it. Every year, people gather around and watch the same exact movie. They watch It's a Wonderful Life and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Die Hard. Die Hard is a Christmas movie. So why can't everybody gather around each year and watch William Lee Martin in The Nutcracker? And so it's all based on a lot of stuff that happened at Christmas to me, including a present that I got for my wife, which was my vasectomy. And that's how we ended up with the title, The Nutcracker.
It's the gift that keeps on giving.
Or in this case, doesn't.
Yeah. Well, that's coming out on December 10th on all those same platforms as well. And as if that's not enough, you also rolled out a brand new podcast earlier this month called A Stand-Up Dad.
We did. This whole thing, what we were talking about politically, not only spills out on the airwaves, but I also think that, you know, as a father, I you get tired of seeing another school shooting, another tragedy, and the fact is, the way I look at it, if we ever want to stop school shootings, want to stop bullying, and we want to stop racism in our schools, it doesn't start with Congress or the White House. It starts with conversations in our own house. And I've been a good dad. I've been a bad dad. I You know, I've gone through the gamut like just about everybody, but I try to be a present dad. So what I thought we should start talking about is bring in folks, comics, and business people and entertainers like yourselves and everything else, and just talk about the good and the bad and the funny of fatherhood. And that's how we ended up start doing the stand-up dad podcast. And, you know, the first couple episodes, we had one of my best friends in this business, Mr. Bill Engvall, and we've had everybody from singers to sheriffs and everything else in the first five or six episodes of it. And, you know, I think it's something that's due in America, because I think men really need to step up and start doing their job. I'm not a comic that gets up and talks about these millennials do this, these millennials do that, because the fact is, when I see a millennial doing those things, I don't see the child doing it. I see the fact that the parent didn't ever correct the behavior or what they're doing, never pointed it out, never taught them something differently. And I just think as parents, we need to take a more active role, especially as fathers.
Well, I'm so glad to hear you say that, because I teach school. That's my day job. And I was talking to students today with another school shooting today, and we talked about the fact that, you know, these are always young men who do this. And it doesn't matter what laws you change, any legislation. Legislation can't change the heart of somebody. And what we really need to do is what you're saying. Get back early when these are little guys, and start talking about the role of young men and men in America, and getting dads more involved. So I love the idea behind that podcast.
Well, thanks, man. It's exactly how I felt about it. You know, when I was growing up, I'm 53 now, and when I was growing up, Father Knows Best was still out in rerun. and now, anytime there's a dad doesn't have a clue on television. You know, they always make us out to be the buffoon, and the kids are always smarter. And maybe we need to look at all those kind of steps and start really having open discussions on the role the fathers do have. And I do think that with these young men that find nothing more hope to do than go and do what they do at these schools and that kind of thing, then obviously I'm not a big fan of saying it's the gun's fault. I think it has everything to do with the fact that we're not stepping up and doing that. Because let's face it, they're not going to be able to grab the gun. It's not realistic. So let's see if we can't change some of the behavior.
We're talking with William Lee Martin here on Downtown on this Thursday afternoon. And I wanted to talk about what happened in your career. A couple of years ago, you decided to change things up. You had been known as Cowboy Bill in the comedy world. You went to your given name, and you changed your act a little bit as well. What prompted all of that and that change for you?
Well, Cowboy Bill is actually a nickname my grandfather gave me. I was actually, his name was William Lee. My name is William Lee. He was called Little Bill. And he hated being called Little Bill as a grown up. He's 6'5". So when I was born, you know, they named me after him. And he said, don't call him Little Bill. He'll hate it. Call him Cowboy Bill. And I was actually named after Cowboy Bill Watts, the old wrestler back in the 60s. And then when I went into comedy, I decided to go by Cowboy Bill, because on my dad's side of the family, that's what everybody calls me. On my mama's side of the family, they still call me Wee Wee. Let's move on. And nobody's going to, you know, so I went by Cowboy Bill back then, because nobody's going to spend good money on Wee Wee Martin. So I went on stage for the first 18, 19 years of my career as Cowboy Bill. And then I changed it to my maiden name, William Lee Martin, about 3.5 years ago. Because even though I've been wearing a cowboy hat my whole life, the act's not, it's not a cowboy act. I don't talk about riding and roping and everything else. I talk about what life is. I just wore the cowboy hat since I was 2. So it is absolutely, you know, my Samson's hair, it's my Superman cape. It's the thing that I identify easily with my own self, right? But I was still working dirty, and I'd rededicated my life to Christ, if I could be so bold to tell you. And I'm out mowing the grass one day, and I was like, God, why don't you let me grab the brass ring? You know, I was the 5th guy signed with the Blue Collar Tour back in 2000. And those guys exploded, and they didn't need me. And then I've gone on to have the CMT special, and it came out in 2015. And everybody said we'd never get it on television, and we did. And then we got 1.7 million people to watch it on CMT. And I said, and yet I still I don't feel fulfilled on stage. I'm praying about it. As you and I are talking, the answer came back, and it was, listen, I put you on a cruise ship where you could change anything about your career for 7 years now. The only thing you were willing to change was your name, and you wanted me to work the miracle. You've been waiting on me. I've been waiting on you, son. So I made wholesale changes in the act and just tried to take out the language so it would make the show more accessible to different folks. I mean, everybody from, you know, it's not a kid's show. It's still adult humor, but just about the adult language. So, but I wanted anybody to come out to the show and, you know, feel good and laugh. And what's wrong with wanting to make more people laugh and reach more people that way?
I love that idea. And your career has never been conventional. Not many people would up and decide to throw away their job, move on, and start a career in comedy at the age of, 29 years, 361 days?
You did the math. That's awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, right before my 30th birthday, and I was writing advertising, and I used to hate every minute of it. I don't know if, you know, I used to look at my four-floor window thinking, will four floors kill me or just break my leg? It was never a good break, even in my mind. It was like high on the leg where you'd have to have a body cast and a catheter. Like, I hate my job, and here's my poop. Right? And then one day I lost my job. We all got sold to another company. And I called my grandmother, and she said, what do you want to do? And I said, I don't know. And she said, why don't you go home and look in the mirror and ask yourself, are you happy? Now, I say that I did that, but I didn't. I went home, and I stayed in the fetal position for 5.5 months. Would have been 6, but unemployment ran out in 5.5. And a true story, UPS driver comes next door, and I go next door to get the package from my neighbor who was out of town. But I had a real motive of going to next door just to tell him my sad story, right? Because when you're throwing a pity party, everybody's invited, even the guy in the brown shorts. I told the UPS driver all my sad story that I was fired. I didn't know I was going to make ends meet. And he looked at me like, that's one less box I'll bring out here, dude. So I hate to tell you, folks, sometimes people don't care you got problems, and oftentimes they're happy that you do. And I went home and I looked in the mirror, turned off the phone, the television, all the distractions of life, and had a 4-hour conversation that day with what I believe is God in a mirror. And I said, you know, God, I called my grandmother 4 hours later. I said, you know, Mama, since I was 5 years old, I knew I wanted to be on stage and television, radio, and print. And she said, go for it. And I said, what if I lose the house? She said, buy you another one, boy. He said, I don't want you to be 30, 50, or 80 and go through the would have, could have, or should have. And it's from a woman that found out that she had a tumor on her lung about the size of my fist and dying of lung cancer. And that's what I did. You know, it was May 17th, 1996. My first time on stage was May 17th, 1996, and I haven't looked back since. And we've been out doing this for 23 years now, and I've been able to travel the world and entertain the troops, you know, our side. Yeah, our side.
Also want to talk about
that. It'd be different if I did the other side.
Well,
like,
yeah.
Knock, knock, who's there? Kaboom. Wrong crowd.
I want to talk about what you and your wife are also doing to give back. Can you share a little information on your work with the Cowboys Who Care Foundation?
Well, thanks for even bringing that up as well, man. It really is nice. It's, so Cowboys Who Care started 8.5 years ago, and it started with a young lady named Ashley Miller. Now, when I met her, she was 12 years old, and she had a rare form of cancer. And her mom and dad asked me to put my name on a fundraiser to raise some money for her. And I was happy to do that. And I got to know Ashley and her mom and dad. And her cancer goes into remission, and it came back with a vengeance. And she lost her battle with cancer, y'all, in June 2011. And we were asked to come over to the prayer vigil the night before they take her off life support. And on the way home, I completely lost it, to be honest with you. And, you know, because we have these healthy kids, and I saw what the Millers went through, and we knew we wanted to help, and we didn't know how. And then one day I just Googled kids with cancer images, kind of opened it up to the universe, and I had all these big, bright, beautiful faces, beautiful smiles, and bald heads. And in the mirror, I could see my cowboy hat, and that's when it hit me. Well, these kids need cowboy hats. What 7-year-old wants to wear a wig? But what 7-year-old wouldn't want to wear a cowboy hat? So we formed Cowboys Who Care Foundation, a nonprofit organization, a 501c3, with the sole mission of providing smiles, support, and brand new cowboy hats to kids with cancer and other life-threatening illnesses. And now in 8 years, or a little over 8 years, we've now given away a little over 9,000 hats across the country.
That is fantastic. You can get more information at William's website, williamleemartin.com. Make sure you check out the new specials, Standing in the Middle, and coming up December 10th, The Nutcracker, a Christmas stand-up spectacular. Again, they're available everywhere on demand, Amazon Prime, Apple TV, Google, YouTube. Frankly, just look through your neighbor's window. You may see it there as well. William, thank you so much for being with us. We wish you continued good luck and success and good health, and hope you come back and visit with us again sometime.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, fellas, and y'all have a great holiday, Thanksgiving holiday, and stay safe.
Thank you. That's William Lee Martin here with us on Downtown.